Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome you all to this morning's service. I would also like to welcome all visitors who are amongst us this morning. Please make yourselves known to me or to the stewards after the service. Hello to those who are listening through recording. I hope you'll be part of, you feel part of Emmanuel. Reverend Jeff Greed will be leading this service this morning, and this morning we're also going to have celebrate the communion. The Bible reader this morning is Pam Weston, and there are two Bible readings, both taken from the New Testament, the book of Matthew and Philippians. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news, which, fortunately enough, we should thank Sue for printing them out. We didn't have anything, but she managed to sort them out before the service. Thank you, Sue. And I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle as we remain in silent in preparation for the service.
Friends, know that in this time of worship, and as we leave to go out and live our lives, that God is with us, Christ is with us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. What more do we need? Amen. I thought we'd start with a zippy hymn this morning. So it's from Rejoice and Sing, 523, Give Me Joy in My Heart. And let's sing this at the top of our voices and show that we mean it.
Thank you.
Didn't that make you feel good? I sincerely hope so. So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this new day and for all the opportunities that it can bring. It can be a time of rest, to unwind, a time to rejoice and celebrate, a time to reflect and to worship, a time to share with family or friends. For this and every moment, we bring you our grateful praise. We thank you for having been with us over the days gone by, always there by our side, even when sometimes we don't realize it. You are there, Lord, to guide our footsteps, to give light to our path. And we thank you for the assurance that you will be with us in the days ahead. And whatever those days may bring, whatever challenges we may face, or trials that we have to endure, you will be there to see us through. We thank you that you are a God of past, present, and future, that you are a constant in our lives. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so, in that faith, we welcome you in this new day, receiving it as your gift to us, and we consecrate it to your service. For this and every moment, we bring you our grateful thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Lord, you are a God of love, who was always ready to hear us. And so in a short time of quiet reflection, we now speak to you about those things which weigh heavy on our minds and hearts at this time, and which we feel need your forgiveness. We would be still. Friends, here are words we may trust. God says, I hear you. Now go from this place refreshed and renewed to live out and work for my kingdom. We sum up these, our morning prayers, in the words that Jesus taught his disciples as together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We pray for peace. We light a candle each week, the peace candle. So we're going to sing from Rejoice and Sing number 97, King of Glory, King of Peace. And to save me getting on and off the organ stool, you'll see that that's going to be followed. Well, you won't, but I do. I know. It's going to be followed by the two Bible readings shared with us to us by Pam, and after that, the anthem, which today is Jesu, the very thought of thee. These words are from 12th century Latin, and the music is by a living composer, Simon Lull. But first we sing the hymn number 97.
morning, everyone. Excuse the voice, my hay fever has attacked. The first reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, and on page 27. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison, and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The second reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, and is on page 193. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Or Jesu, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast.
Oh.
Let us pray. Lord, bless the words I speak, and the hearts and minds of all who hear, so that we may be helped to discover more ways of living out the gospel today. Amen. Now you've got a copy of the weekly news, or you've read it online, you'll know what the title of my sermon is. Do you have a yes face? Do you have a yes face? Or to be a little bit more clear, how do people see us as individuals, particularly if we profess to be Christians? Are we approachable and easy to get on with? I've always been a bit of a people watcher and a people listener, as my wife and a few others will tell you, because I come back with all sorts of stories and yarns from conversations I've overheard or situations I've observed. I'm fascinated, frankly, just sitting or standing around, watching or listening as people get on with the task of living their daily lives. And actually, on occasions, it gives you a bit of an idea for a sermon. I suspect, actually, we've all done some of this to some extent. Not necessarily food for a sermon, but you know what I mean. If you haven't done it, I'm surprised. I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I'm not the only one that's a bit odd. Don't answer that. When we first look at someone, or perhaps a group of people, we form immediate opinions, don't we, about them. Whether they're old or young or middle-aged, if they're wearing expensive clothes or jewellery, or dressed in dirty rags, we've made certain assumptions about them, almost without realising it. It's not necessarily deliberate, but we do it. You see, a young mum, for example, with her children shopping, and the child in the buggy is having a tantrum, screaming at the top of its voice, probably thrown its teddy bear out of the pram on the way past you. The other child keeps tugging on mum's dress, saying, "Mum, mum, mummy, mum," all over again and over again. You've heard it, you've seen it. But mum is looking stressed, perhaps a bit annoyed. She's worn out. She's seemingly ignoring the children's antics. And she walks on by. We form an opinion, I suspect. Is it right to do that? Is it right what we're assuming about her and her behaviour and that of her children? Here's another. There's a group of teenagers on their phones outside the Brunel statue in the centre. Seen them? Many a time. They're wearing what's seen as the latest fashion, you know, the ripped jeans, all that sort of thing. And they're living in their own little world, unaware of everything else that's going on around them. They don't look as if they could cause trouble. But could they? Who knows? Assumptions. What about the bloke who's had his head shaven and is covered from his head, face to toes in tattoos? And he's wearing black leathers with chains hanging from the cuffs of his leather jacket in his pocket. People are fascinating to watch. They really are. There's such a variety of people to see. But everyone is different, aren't they? You don't want to be lumped up with everyone else, but that's what a lot of us tend to do if we're not careful. We put people into categories. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. Conversations I've overheard in the past, I suspect this is true of you, can sometimes make me smile, giggle, or cause me to feel very, very sad. You've heard them. You've heard the conversations in supermarkets, in shops, in pubs, cafes, restaurants, on garage forecourts, even in the church. And here again, it's very easy to form opinions, to be, dare I say, the word's coming now, judgmental. So then, what about us, you and me? If someone saw us for the first time, would they look at us, do you think, and say, oh, that looks like a nice person. Doesn't look as if they'll bite. Are others seeing you or me with a face which conveys that you're approachable and that you are likely to care? A face which is actually saying, you matter to me. You've heard it said that eyes are the window of the soul. But you know, I believe that is true. There are also people with limited sight who can light up a room the minute you're in their presence. Remember this, you've heard it many times before. A smile is the same in every language. Some of you who were in church 2 weeks ago will remember that Andrew Fleet, who stood in this pulpit, spoke about how we should, as Christians, be an encourager to others. I'd already got in mind what I was going to say today, and it was quite interesting. I said to him, actually, what you're saying and what I'm likely to say in 2 weeks is linking. Being an encourager to others. He quoted from Acts, the book of Acts, and Paul's letter to the Hebrews, some words which equally apply to what I'm sharing here today. And amongst those words were these: let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Well, our outward attitude can show others if we're living up to those words, can't they? He also talked about encouraging others too. And encouragement can be shown in all sorts of ways. I've just mentioned one. It can be shown in a smile. It says, yes, you can do this. In truth, we should really treat everyone we meet as if they were Jesus. That's what we profess as Christians. Because when we do, we reveal whether or not we are actually saying yes to other people. That's what the reading from Matthew's Gospel is all about to me, really. You can look for much more theological reasons, and there are many, I'm sure. But today I'm using this as an example. When the people ask Jesus, but when did we see you hungry and thirsty or naked and sick or care for you? When did we welcome you as a stranger? I can imagine a long pause then before Jesus answered. Jesus says, in effect, it's not actually me I'm talking about, or God, really. It's everyone else who needs to know in this world that they are needed, loved, and valued. Because in each of them, says Jesus, is a part of me. Yes, people are those who help to bring about God's kingdom with words and with actions, and they do that with things like a hug and a smile and sometimes a tear alongside people too. I chose the reading from Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, because it says a lot to me about how we can be inclined, really, on occasions to make excuses for our behaviour or why we can or can't do something or get involved in something. Paul, you've got to remember, when he writes these words, is in prison. He's being flogged and beaten and being persecuted for his faith. And yet, he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just when times are good. Even now, says Paul, I'm in prison. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. And again, I say rejoice. Let your attitude be known to all people. It says gentleness in the Bible. I like the word attitude, which appears in other versions of the Bible. Let your attitude, your behavior, your outward persona be known to all people. Paul is saying, don't keep your faith hidden. Show people who you are and what you believe. I think this building's a good place to start, frankly. Why not, at the end of this service, just have a quick chat with someone you've never spoken to before? We've got some visitors today, more than one group of visitors, but there are a group of visitors. They arrived late, slightly, but they're with us. Now, you don't all have to home in on those visitors, but all I'm saying is, if there are people you don't even know their name, just go up to them and say, "Hi, I'm Alice." Well, obviously I'm not, but you know what I mean. Do you know what? Yes, people are going to actually live up to what Paul was saying in Philippians. They're going to be people that, despite what sometimes they might see as limitations, they carry on and live out the kingdom in their daily lives. Whatever the circumstances, I believe there's always something positive we can say or do. If age or circumstances can prevent us from doing certain things, and I know that's true, of course I do, then, friends, there's always prayer. You can pray that you may be a person who can enter into the spirit of someone else's concern or happiness or joy. And you can also pray that you will live out the kingdom in the way that you are able. There's always prayer. And of course, there's always a personality. We've all got one of them. A personality. And I hope that personality says to others, "I'm a yes person. You matter to me. And more importantly, you matter to God." Amen. I think this hymn that we're going to sing now, from Sing Praise, the smaller hymn book, number 176, is actually spelling out part of what I've been saying this morning. Let us build a house. And we're leaving out, because it's a lot of verses, we're leaving out verse 2.
Just before I begin the prayers of intercession, I just thought that you might like this short story. After our beloved dog Ben died, my 4-year-old grandson George asked where he was. "He's gone to Jesus, darling," I replied. "Hasn't he got a dog then?" replied George. Our prayers for today. Dear Lord, we have today, as always, many things to pray for. As we listen to or watch the news, please help us to remember that no matter what, you are in control. It is so easy to judge without knowing all the facts. Please, may we follow Jesus' words. Let him, without sin, cast the first stone. And judge not, so that you may not be judged. We pray now for all in positions of power, that they might be guided not by self-interest, but by the welfare of all, and especially those who are vulnerable. As for our churches, we ask that they might act in unity for the spread of your kingdom and for the good of all. We pray for all those who are going through difficult times, for your strength and your vision. As we become ever more aware of the dangers to our planet, may we realise that together we can achieve much, and that we can all play a part in preserving our beautiful planet. We thank you for every person who cares, be it in a charity, in their work, or in their family. And may we ourselves be yes people, as Jeff has said, and help and be an encouragement to others. We pause now to pray for those we know who are suffering at the moment, and place them in your loving arms. And finally, we thank you for all the blessings that we have received and do receive and will receive. In your dear Son's name, amen.
God has been good to us. We now make our offering.
O Lord, bless these gifts which we bring to you now and those that we have given online or in other ways, and use both the gift and the giver, to your glory. Amen. Amen. And now shall we share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
We now sing our pre-communion hymn, which again is in Sing Praise. I come with joy, a child of God, and we will leave out verse 4. Please know, all of you, that we are all children of God, and this is an open table, and as the hymn we just sung says, all are welcome to participate in taking the bread and the wine. So we stand to sing hymn 217, omitting verse 4. So, friends, hear again the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me shall not hunger, and anyone who believes in me shall never thirst. Anyone who comes to me, I will not cast out. So we recall how the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup, and again, after giving thanks, he said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you proclaim my death until I come again. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and following his example, let us pray. With joy we give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, source of all life and love.
that we live in your world, that you are always creating and sustaining it by your power, and that you have so made us that we can know and love you, trust and serve you. We give you thanks that you love the world so much that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him may not die, but have eternal life. Therefore, with all the company of heaven, and with all your people of all places and times, we proclaim your greatness and sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy God, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. For blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy Lord God, by what we do here in remembrance of Christ, we celebrate his perfect sacrifice on the cross and his glorious resurrection and ascension. We declare that he is Lord of all, and we prepare for his coming in his kingdom. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, this bread may be for us the body of Christ, and this wine, the blood of Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise, and as we eat and drink at his command, unite us to Christ and to one another as one body in him, so that we are then given your strength to serve you in the world. And to you, one holy and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. Friends, the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ.
Friends, the body of Christ, let us eat and be thankful. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The pot is empty. Jesus would be pleased, wouldn't he? You have one, Maria. There we are.
I don't think it looks very elegant if I nip to the vestry and get the bottle, does it, really? There we are. These things happen. I think that's good, actually, that sometimes we don't quite have enough. That's true of life as well, isn't it? Friends, the blood of Christ shed for you and for me, those of you that can, drink and be thankful. My wife bought some cards in a gift shop the other day, and I nicked one of them without her knowing the other day. I like some of the words that are on this card. I'll just select a few. I think it talks to us about where we should be as Christians and individuals. Keep a promise. Forgive one another. Listen. Apologise when you're wrong. Think first of others. Be a true friend. Share something you treasure. Mend a quarrel. Search out a new friend. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you've given us and for what you've promised us here in this bread and wine. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You've fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom and that our love may be your love reaching out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you know what? I know some people are reluctant. We light a peace candle every week. We've sung about peace. Let's just offer one another the peace before the last hymn, which you can see on the board is Sing Praise Something or Another. 168. Peace of the Lord be always with you. I meant stand up and go and shake. Peace of the Lord be with you, Pam. And you, Jan. Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. Nobody wants to know me over there. Peace of the Lord. Peace be with you, Paddy. Peace be with you, Brian.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Oh, so much.
After all our conversation.
Yeah. Where is this hymn? There it is.
Thank you.
bless us. May Christ go with us. And may the Holy Spirit dwell within us as we leave this place to go out to live and work for the kingdom as the yes people of God. Amen.